The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Just a few months ago, in a beautiful field in Pennsylvania, an assassin tried to stop our great movement, greatest movement in history. But that brush with death did not stop us by any means. It only made us more determined to finish the job that we had only just started. That was not a pleasant day, I will tell you. That was not a pleasant day. But many people say that God saved me in order to save America. Many people, I've seen it so many times. And with your help, we will fulfill that extraordinary mission together. But had I not made that turn, I wouldn't be with you tonight, and that would have been bad. And I hope that's right. I hope that's right. I hope that God did put me here to really save this country. Because this country's in big, big trouble.
The future is gonna be amazing!
We are now projecting that Donald J. Trump will win the state of Pennsylvania. Former President Donald J. Trump will win the state of Pennsylvania, and thereby, he is on his way to becoming the 47th President of the United States. With this, the path for Vice President Harris has narrowed, and there's really no path going forward. It's vanished. This is historic. The Fox News Decision Desk can now officially project that Donald Trump will become the 47th President of the United States.
The former president's comeback will be complete with a win in Wisconsin, a state that he narrowly lost 4 years ago. He is now the second.
Donald Trump returns to the White House, the president-elect pulling off potentially the biggest political comeback in American history.
Unlike any in modern American politics.
For an historic political realignment.
Unlike anything we have ever seen.
Trump sweeping all seven battleground states, lifting his total number of electoral college votes to 312.
He also made significant gains in some of the most democratic places in the country.
I think it is really more akin to a political resurrection.
It is now clear that we've achieved the most incredible political thing. Look what happened. Is this crazy?
The influences of a Schumer or a Pelosi or a movie star or an Obama deciding to anoint somebody, those guys are gone.
Former President Donald Trump fought off a host of allegations and slurs, a criminal conviction on dozens of felony counts and two impeachments, two assassination attempts as well, to reclaim the White House.
This will truly be the golden age of America. That's what we have to have. This is a magnificent victory for the American people that will allow us to make America great again.
A miracle victory 1 year ago today. It's hard to believe it's been a full year. So much has happened in the past 12 months. But we have, I understand the news cycle right now is going bonkers over the so-called blue wave. But you can see the devil behind this in many ways, because a miracle is a miracle. And nobody expected it 4 or 5 years ago. This man was left for dead, basically, politically speaking, almost physically, on July 13th last summer. And yet God orchestrated the events leading up to November 5, 2024. It was a miracle, and we put it on the cover of our January magazine, The Trumpet, a miracle victory. Here's what my father wrote. The scale of Donald Trump's victory was truly impressive. In America's November 5 election, he won the popular vote in all 7 swing states. Republicans held their majority in the House of Representatives and gained control of the Senate. When he resumes office, Trump will have considerable power. Now, I understand why the meltdown people are just giddy with excitement today. I mean, this is a great day. The Islamist communist is now running New York City, so we can celebrate. And he's brought in by the female vote and the immigrant vote, even as tax-paying New Yorkers are leaving the city. I mean, the fact that Virginia and New Jersey and New York City and California are blue, I mean, to me, that's not a huge surprise. That they're still blue, that there's a, call it a blue wave, if you will, but this right here, a year ago today, I mean, that was a miracle. That was a miracle. That was an election that was too big to rig. That was an election just a few years earlier that nobody could have dreamed of. He had no voice. After the fake insurrection, he had no voice. He was blotted out. And yet he came back. There were people calling my father a false prophet for saying he was coming back. I think Satan would like to blot out this recent history, because it was a miracle. God did it. And when God does it, I mean, we stand in awe of God's power, his presence. Even the Apostle John, he said, look, we can't cover all the miracles and the signs that Jesus Christ performed or spoke of. But these 7 that I'll talk about in my book, in my gospel, they're written, they're recorded for you so that you might believe. So that you might believe and have faith and look to God and look to the creator of the vast, limitless universe and receive life eternal from God through his purpose and plan. This great purpose being worked out here below. Yes, we serve a miracle-making Father in heaven. Jesus Christ performed these many miracles because God lived in him. He said so. He said, of myself, I can't do anything. But if God is in me, if God is in it, well, then you can expect miracles. You can expect awesome power. You can expect mountains to be moved. You can expect to walk on water. Many people are calling this the greatest political comeback in the history of the nation or possibly the world. Some are likening it to a resurrection, my father wrote. That's from this issue. We kicked off 2025 with this issue, Miracle Victory, and it's a good time to look back on it. This 1 year anniversary of the return of Donald Trump, total miracle. My father says, think of it. This man faced relentless attacks from the moment he began running for president in 2015 and all through his time in office, even after he left. Indeed, even after he left in 2021, the attacks never stopped. He was blacklisted from social media. The FBI raided his home. Remember that? He was indicted 4 times. He was the target of persistent media vitriol and at least two assassination attempts. Yet somehow he emerged stronger than ever. In fact, he enters his second term with notably more power than he had in his first, or would have had he continued on in 2021. He came in with more power. And yet Scarborough and company today are saying, yeah, he got smacked down in the election yesterday because of the blue wave in New York City. Well, hang on a second. I thought democracy died the moment Donald Trump won last year. I thought democracy was over. And here they are celebrating, if you can believe it. The talking heads are celebrating today because California has redistricted. It's got new districts. They're going to get five more seats for Democrats. And 2 seconds ago, we were told that when Texas did this, that this is how Donald Trump is going to steal elections. I mean, these people, how can you even stand them anymore? I've got a few clips. Maybe I'll skip them. We'll see. It shows how divided we are. That hasn't changed because of the miracle victory last year. It shows that, I mean, last night was the Isaiah 3 election. You see the kinds of people that Americans are putting into office. In a lot of ways, it's no surprise. London chose an Islamist some years ago, Khan. And now we've got the new guy in New York City, Zoran. They're both Islamists. I mean, in the case of, I'm not sure about Khan, but Zoran, he's of the Shia faith. In his mind, or in his religion, unless he's renounced it secretively, the supreme leader is the Ayatollah. That's who New York voted in. That's Isaiah 3. Yesterday showed that the sins of our people, they're still alive and well. I mean, they're going strong. But last year on this day, what it showed is that even in the midst of all of this bitter affliction, and it is bitter, God said, you know what? I'm going to bring this man back, even though no one thinks it can happen. A miracle victory. How about that? That's our great God. That's who we worship. That's who we love and support. That's who we obey and submit to. Truly, it is a miracle, my father wrote. Well, backing up, indicted 4 times. He was the target of media vitriol. Yet somehow he emerged stronger than ever. In fact, he enters his second term with notably more power than he had in his first. Truly, it's a miracle. God has been protecting and empowering this man. In fact, it is more than a miracle. It's the fulfillment of Bible prophecy. Prophecy being fulfilled is one of the great proofs of God's existence, of God's power. You know, Satan would just love to blot out this recent history. Yeah, we don't want you thinking about the miracle that happened last year on this day. So let's think about Mom Donnie. He's an academic. He's an immigrant. He's an Islamist. He's a communist. And he's running New York City, the poor people of New York City. The whites are leaving. The immigrants are flooding in. I mean, this shows you how it doesn't take very long for a fundamental transformation to happen, in this case, to New York City. Satan is, I mean, he hates God. He hates the prophecies of God. He hates it when prophecies are fulfilled, and he wants to do everything that he can to obscure it, to erase it, to blot it out. Epoch Times, in Virginia and New Jersey's gubernatorial races, Abigail Spanberger and Mickey Sherrill respectively prevailed. Though Democrats were favored in these races, that's what they'll skip over on all the coverage today. The Dems were actually favored. I mean, listen, Donald Trump and Elon Musk, they had to come out and endorse Cuomo, the former governor, because they knew that the conservative had no chance.
I mean, Cuomo's the dictator that lowered the boom on New York City, on all of New York for that matter, during the COVID nightmare. I mean, that man operated with an iron fist. That's the alternative to Mom Donnie? Are we serious?
That's right.
I mean, what does this say about just the quality of leadership or lack thereof? It says it's Isaiah 3. There's maybe one exception, Jeroboam, and God did that. But what does the prophecy say about leadership in the United States and Britain? It says that it would be childish. Read Isaiah 3, 1 through 5 or 6. Okay, I'll read it. Isaiah 3 and verse 1. Notice this. I could paraphrase it, I guess, but I'd probably butcher it. Here we go. Isaiah 3, verses 1 through 3 or 4. Let's just look at this. This is what God says about leaders in Israel in the last days. For behold, the Lord of hosts, does take away from Jerusalem and from Judah the stay and the staff and the whole stay of bread and the whole stay of water. I mean, we're coming into a time of curses brought upon our people because of our own sins. Verse 2 says, the mighty man and the man of war, the judge and the prophet and the prudent and the ancient, the captain of 50 and the honorable man and the counselor and the cunning artificer and the eloquent orator. God says, I'm taking it all away. I'm taking away good quality leadership. And so we see in Jeroboam a very strong leader. And we also see, as a result of last night, a very divided nation. And given what we know about war, civil war, it shouldn't come as any surprise. This was Morning Joe earlier today, clip 3.
In yeah. New York City, Zoran Mamdani has won the closely watched mayoral race, defeating independent candidate Andrew Cuomo by about 9 points. Also last night, we saw the passage of California's redistricting referendum. This move could potentially give the state 5 more Democratic congressional seats ahead of next year's midterms.
What a joke. Texas does it. It's the end of democracy. California does it. And Mika is thrilled. She's thrilled. Of course, California's been doing it for years. Same with Illinois. Same with all the other blue states. You've got blue states and you've got red states. And last year, it was too big to rig. God performed a miracle. They couldn't cheat their way to victory like they did in 2020. Anybody watching it play out in 2020 would have said, you know what? There's no way Trump's ever coming back. Even if he were to run, I mean, it's rigged. The whole system's rigged. And Donald Trump points this out all the time. And yet a year ago today, he got Pennsylvania. He got Wisconsin. He got Arizona as well. He picked up Michigan. He got everything. He got North Carolina. He got Georgia. All these states just rife with voter fraud. The whole nation was, because of COVID, because of the lockdown policies that Andrew Cuomo just absolutely loved. Let's just lower the boom on business owners, on just ordinary citizens of New York. Let's lead like a tyrant. I read this morning from Matthew 20 in Life and Teachings where, you know, the two disciples and their mother coming forward and asking Christ, you know, can these two rule at your right hand and left hand? And Christ said, look, let me tell you something about leadership. Godly leadership. It's not like it is in the world where they lord it over the subjects. In God's family, there's authority for sure, but it's servant leadership. The higher up you go, the more of a servant you are. In fact, you're like a slave, it says there in Matthew 20. That's very different than what we see in this world. That's the leadership that's coming to New York City, to London, to the United States, to Britain, to Judah, to every nation. God's royal family. So they're excited. It was a bloodbath. It was a wake-up call for Donald Trump. It was a wake-up. Now suddenly the talking heads are, you know, they're concerned about the economy. Yeah, the economy's still bad. That's what, I mean, this was a wake-up call for the Trump people because he's not doing enough for the economy. And there they were for 4 years as Joe Biden, the fake president, with the dear leader behind the scenes in the basement, as he said he would be, just running the economy into the ground. So here we are. Mamdani, he wins. And this is a statement victory. He's the next Barack Obama. He's prepared to challenge Donald Trump. Listen to clip 8.
If anyone can show a nation betrayed by Donald Trump how to defeat him, it is the city that gave rise to him. And if there is any way to terrify a despot, it is by dismantling the very conditions that allowed him to accumulate power. This is not only how we stop Trump, it's how we stop the next one. So Donald Trump, since I know you're watching, I have 4 words for you. Turn the volume up. We will hold bad landlords to account because the Donald Trumps of our city have grown far too comfortable taking advantage of their tenants. We will put an end to the culture of corruption that has allowed billionaires like Trump to evade taxation and exploit tax breaks. We will stand alongside unions and expand labor protections because we know, just as Donald Trump does, that when working people have ironclad rights, the bosses who seek to extort them become very small indeed. New York will remain a city of immigrants, a city built by immigrants, powered by immigrants. And as of tonight, led by an immigrant.
It was a big night for Democrats.
Well, no, it was a huge night for Democrats.
The
it was a massive
key races across the country.
It's a massive, massive night for Democrats. I've been through a lot of these elections off year, and this is as big as it gets. Because I'm a nice guy, I've been trying to say, trim yourselves. You're being too extreme. Don't do that with people on the streets. Don't. They couldn't help themselves. And man, they learned what we try to tell people in White Houses over and over and over again. You don't buy the place, you rent it. And if you go too fast, voters will knock you on your immediately. And that's what happened yesterday.
I guess it's not the end of democracy after all. Democracy is alive and well. The despot, I mean, he took a hit last night in New York and in New Jersey. This is a big sign. This is a big signal. They are loving it on the morning meltdown. This is a day they don't have to melt down. I mean, they can rejoice. They can celebrate. I've mentioned this year and next, we're coming up to the nation's birthday. You know, next year, that's going to be the 25th anniversary of 9/11. And by the way, which side is Mamdani on? I'll get to his background in just a second. But here, America, the worst attack on U.S. soil since Pearl Harbor. 25 years ago, next year. And just less than 25 years, less than that for London. I mean, you've got the capital city of Britain and you've got the capital city in many ways. I mean, I guess it's not the capital of the United States, but it's certainly, some would say it's the economic capital, obviously. But New York City, the most famous city in America for sure. And these cities under Muslim mayors, Not just, you know, moderate Muslims. I mean, these are extremists. The city of London's been transformed. And that's about to happen to New York City. I mean, it's already happening and has been for years. That's why they voted him in. Here we've fought wars for our freedoms, for our values, for our traditions. And now look at what we're just inviting into the country, the communist infiltration all those years. I mean, it's real. Mamdani's a product of all that. He can go on about being the working man, this and that. And he's one of the elites. Always has been. I mean, in a lot of ways, you know, because of the miracle victory last year, there was a time when the dear leader, when Joe Biden, when Kamala, you know, they all tried to conceal their communist ideology. They tried to conceal their radical roots. And in a lot of ways, what you saw last night was them tearing the mask off. There's a lot of moderate Democrats right now that are a little bit concerned, thinking, is this our party? I mean, I'm all for Democrat policy, but really, we're handing it over to strict Muslim? I mean, we talk about the religious revival. In a lot of ways, this is a revival. But is it a revival of Christianity? Listen to clip two from Morning Joe.
Spanberger will be the first woman to ever serve as Virginia's governor.
And by the way, in the year of the male, oh, the men have taken over us. All the beta males in the Republican leadership that claim they're he-men. Oh, men, 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 men. We had last night, and keep the music rolling, I promise. I'll get out of the way so we can keep reading this. You had the first woman ever elected in Virginia as governor. You had the first Democratic woman ever elected in New Jersey. You had the first Muslim elected statewide in Virginia. You had the first Muslim woman elected statewide as lieutenant governor in the state of Virginia. And you had the first Muslim mayor elected to run New York City.
They love them some Isaiah 3. Oh, they love Isaiah 3 leadership over at Meltdown. Oh, they love it when it's upside down. I've not seen them happy. I have not seen them this happy in more than a year. This is from The American Greatness. While it's widely known that Mamdani is a Shia Muslim, he specifically adheres to Shia Twelver, the Twelver sect. This is also confirmed by Mamdani's father. Yeah, they make no apologies. That's one of the things that stands out about his campaign. This is who I am. I love it. This is what I'm bringing to New York. He knows he has the support from New Yorkers. I don't think it would fly over as well in Birmingham, Alabama. But in New York City, this works perfect. The Shia Twelver faith teaches the absolute belief in the infallibility of the Ayatollah as the sole religious authority. According to their faith, the Ayatollah is the only legitimate ruler, leader, and religious authority for every Twelver Muslim. And Mamdani's never renounced this. He's never said, you know what, I don't believe all this. I'm more of a moderate. This is Mamdani's religious doctrine from its primary source. Unless Mamdani has apostatized from his Shia Twelver sect, which he has not, his sole religious and political authority is indeed Ali Khamenei. And then you think about, you know, remember, I'm old enough to remember when George Bush was in there and, you know, he had these Christian roots and so on. Oh, that's dangerous. I heard George Bush talk about God. They wear their true colors in broad daylight. They have to now. I mean, any effort to conceal it before last night, I mean, that's gone. That's over. California's redistricting. I think it was Maine that voted that we don't want any voter ID laws. We'd like to keep cheating. And then you've got New Jersey, you've got Virginia, and you've got New York City that said, guess what? We're still blue. But for Glenn Youngkin, look, I mean, basically these people that did win in more of the purplish states, they rode the Trump wave to victory. And then as soon as they get in there, what do? They immediately distance themselves from the miracle. Well, what happens when you distance yourself from the miracle? You lose. How about that? I think just to take away, again, another lesson from the miracle, let's hitch our saddle to God and what he's doing and his purpose, his plan. Now, we're not here to get into, you know, politics other than to watch world events and to pray always. But we, as God's church, as God's family, we're ambassadors for Christ. We represent Christ. Mr. Armstrong makes the point, by the way, in this book, Wonderful World Tomorrow, what it will be like. He says every world leader, every leader in tomorrow's world is going to be appointed by God. It's going to be the end of political campaigns. Thank God for that. The money that goes into it to just pick apart one of the many flaws and evils of men. And then you get these people, you know, part of this Muslim faith is, look, lie your way in. If you can lie to the infidel and obtain the power or the position, do it. The Quran says you should. And we just, Israelites just say, yeah, that's what we want. Over London, over New York, this is perfect. And they celebrate. All the women are in charge. All the Islamists are in charge. I forget the race, the guy that was texting to his friends saying, you know, we need to kill Republicans or something to that effect. He won his race. That's right. I mean, that's an Isaiah 3 election. You can text your friends and dream about assassinating Republicans and still win office. What a world. Is this God's world? Look, it was a miracle a year ago today. But as we've been pointing out this past year, and we've been, you know, it was a miracle last year. There's no getting around it. We promoted it more than anything. We had it on our cover. And we've also given some pretty sobering criticisms of the Trump administration, because we're giving you God's perspective. This is still Satan's world. And we certainly have seen that over the past year, even before last night. And then, as if we needed more proof, here comes these elections last night. The Isaiah 3 election. It says in 2017, this is the American Greatness piece, Mamdani released a rap track under the name Young Cardamom, in which he praised the Holy Land Five. He named the song after a group convicted in 2008 of funneling over $12 million to Hamas. He's a Hamas supporter. He's a Hamas lover. Mamdani's horrific song glorified the leaders convicted of providing support for Hamas. So you've got a lot of really righteous influences, right? Let's see, Hamas, rap music, what else? This is outrageous. And this is happening. It's real. Poor New York City. Mamdani proudly voiced his support for Globalize the Intifada during a June 25 interview with The Bulwark. June 2025. I mean, by my count, that's 5 months ago. And he's proudly supporting Globalize the Intifada. Wow. Recently, this is by the Federalist, Mamdani said the real victim of 9/11 was his Muslim aunt. Yeah, not the 2,900 and some odd victims that were blown up that day or crushed by the falling debris. No, his aunt, because, yeah, Islamophobia, right. That's the real victim. This is an upside-down world. Doesn't even talk about the victims, the actual victims. He's there shedding a tear for his aunt. And if that's not enough, then the fact that he's got all these socialist pipe dreams. The New York Post says the Uganda-born Mamdani, 34 years of age, claimed his historic victory on behalf of all immigrant New Yorkers. Mamdani, who will be the first socialist, first Muslim, and first New York City mayor of South Asian descent, said the moment reminded him of the words of Jawaharlal Nehru, the anti-colonialist first prime minister of independent India. You read it, I'm thinking United States and Britain in prophecy. Just open the world, open the gates to the world, invite everyone in, and give your country up. That's been the history for Israelite nations, sadly. And again, other nations don't do this. You know, Russia doesn't do this. Japan doesn't open the doors and say, hey, yeah, come on in. Swedes, Germans, South Americans, just come on in and take over. Take over our cities, take over our culture, buy up our land, make these big marijuana farms, and get everyday ordinary Americans drugged up and on the streets. And make sure that they all get welfare and that they're doing nothing and that the country just rots from within. Who does this? Well, we do, evidently. Israelite nations. God says, I mean, he's looking at this saying, I sure gave them all these incredible blessings. And look at what they've done with them. They've squandered them all. Again, U.S. and Britain in prophecy. It's not on the table at the moment. But that is Herbert Armstrong's signature text. It's been around since the 1930s. If you want to know who we are in prophecy, I mean, what we're seeing happen today, the curses that are setting in, it's proof in itself of who we are. It shows we're the lost tribes of Israel, America and Britain. Mamdani argued that his vision was essential to uplifting New Yorkers, immigrants, trans people, single mothers, and more. Certainly not white men. No, we won't mention them. I mean, I know they're kind of moving out of the city anyway, but listen, we've got trans rights now. We're going to really promote those. And single moms, broken families, immigrants. This will be an age where New Yorkers expect from their leaders a bold vision, he said. Where's the one? I must have skipped over it. Mamdani pledged to fulfill his pie-in-the-sky campaign promises of freezing rent for 2 million New Yorkers. You got free rent. Yes, no problem. We'll pick up the tab. How about that? Or I guess if he's freezing it, I don't know, who takes the hit, the landlords? Here, Donald Trump's the bad guy, the landlord, the one that, you know, milked the system. Donald Trump built your skyline in many ways. Donald Trump built New York with all of the properties that he invested in and constructed. And here comes the immigrant, here comes the Islamist, here comes the Islamist whose allegiance is to the Ayatollah. And yeah, Donald Trump's the problem. Okay. Pie in the sky campaign promises to freeze rent for 2 million New Yorkers. Make buses fast and free. No charge on public transport. Another freebie. No wonder people voted for him, especially immigrants in New York City. Especially single moms. You mean everything's free? You mean I can get on the bus and just go anywhere for free? Yeah. Yeah. It says here, making buses fast and free, universal childcare, and launching a Department of Community Safety that will take over mental health calls from the New York Police Department. It's going to help all the sick and infirmed, all the deranged, all of the non-Americans, all of the immigrants. Listen to this commentary. This is before the results of last night, but here's Jesse Waters, clip number 5.
But this race for AG, where the guy says that he wanted to kill Republican kids, we can't call that yet. Are you surprised that we haven't been able to call that yet? I mean, most people that I know would say, know with a guy like that.
Yeah, I mean, there's a percentage of Virginia voters who said that they found those comments concerning, but not disqualifying. And we saw that Spanberger really tried to just sort of sidestep this whole issue. She was pressed upon to say that he should drop out of the race. I mean, it really, really lowers the bar for what is required. I mean, think about the fact that Joe Biden once dropped out of a presidential race because there was a little some plagiarism in a speech that he gave. But this guy says that, you know, he should. This family should be killed, and that the children are fascists, and they should be killed too. But you know, the bar for all these things has changed.
And the guy with the Nazi tattoo hasn't dropped out.
You know,
I mean, the bar is so low now; you can basically do anything and stay in the race.
She brings up a good point. 35 years ago, Biden dropped out because, well, he was found to be plagiarizing some of his content. Plagiarism. Now you've got guys, yeah, let's kill this family and their children. They're Republicans, dirty Republicans. And then the guy with a Nazi tattoo. I'm not sure how his race played out, but he didn't have to drop out. No, I mean, really, that's quite fashionable. I mean, Tucker Carlson sits down with a Nazi. Not someone who leans Nazi. He praises Nazis. He praises Hitler. He likes Hitler. He says Hitler's a pretty cool guy. That's a Nazi. And what does it say about the nation overall? Isaiah 3. Isaiah 3 leadership, upside down. But for one exception, Jeroboam, God did that because we were so close to being blotted out. And God intervened to prevent that from happening. And why did he do it? To give us one last chance to turn to him in repentance. To turn. To believe, to look to God and his miracles. I mean, the seven signs that the Apostle John references in his book. You've got turning water to wine and these miraculous healings, this man that was blind from birth and Christ walking on water, moving ships across water. Miracles. And God says, believe. These are the ones I'm recording because God wants us to believe. To believe. From Fox News, it says, former President Barack Obama was slammed by critics after headlining a Norfolk, Virginia rally for Democratic gubernatorial nominee Abigail Spanberger and the Democrats' statewide ticket that included a somewhat surprise appearance by scandal-plagued Attorney General candidate Jay Jones. Jones, who envisioned the murder of former House Speaker Todd Gilbert and his children, and also faces an ongoing criminal investigation stemming from his 116-mile-per-hour reckless driving charge, avoided mentioning those scandals and instead slammed President Donald Trump. Of course, it's the bad orange man. He's the one with sins. No one else has any. What does it take for someone to just bow out of a race in shame and embarrassment? Nothing, evidently. Just keep going. Yeah, fantasize about assassinating people, drive recklessly across town, 116 miles an hour. Who does this? Political candidates. Play this one from Fox News on Mamdani's Win, clip 4.
We've got a socialist, anti-Semite, pro-Hamas guy as mayor of New York and the chief law enforcement officer in Virginia in the age of political assassination attempts and successful attempts. We have a man who has threatened the lives of other people. I think that that's one of the biggest stories of the night.
I'm Donnie. This is from the Daily Wire. Moments after declaring victory, Democrat socialist Mamdani opened his victory speech with a nod to one of the most infamous radicals in American history. Well, I won't get into the history, but there you go. Here's another clip from Stephen Moron with Glenn Beck, clip 9.
When Rudy Giuliani was elected mayor, New York was a mess. And you could see every week, because I was working at the Wall Street Journal at the time, every week you could see the improvement in the city. He got rid of the crime. He got rid of the graffiti. He got rid of the drug dealers. He lowered the taxes. It wasn't complicated, Glenn. I mean, this wasn't rocket surgery, as my kid would say. This was, obvious stuff. And New York was New York again, and it was booming. And what's so sad about this election that's happening today is if Mamdani wins, they will reverse every single thing that Rudy did, and they will be back in the ditch. How stupid would people be to vote for that? I mean, and part of the problem, Glenn, quite frankly, something you and I have talked about for years, is our education system. You have these 24-year-olds who are voting. They think socialism works. Where? Show me. Where?
Let's go back to when it was just really terrible. That's the thinking in these blue states. We've come near to the end of the line, but I'll come back from this this break and just tie a few loose ends together before we conclude. But we'll cut away for a promo first. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. We'll be right back.
Prosperity, government, trade, technology, stability, freedom. The last two centuries have been the exception in human history. How did we get here? The 19th century was dominated by an empire that exported civility, order, standards, and opened the doors for global trade. It ended slavery and implemented a system of governance that protected people's rights. And then in the 20th century, a new power came to dominate. Remarkably, one that would continue in the same traditions as its predecessor. For 200 years, the United States and Britain dominated the world stage. How did these two nations rise to prominence so suddenly? And why are their legacies so relentlessly attacked today? The astonishing truth is that your Bible prophesied the rise of Britain and the United States. It also prophesied their fall. The biblical identity of these two nations is the vital key that unlocks Bible prophecy. This lost master key to prophecy is revealed in Herbert W. Armstrong's most requested book, The United States and Britain in Prophecy. You must understand the biblical identities of these two nations to comprehend where we are in Bible prophecy today. To learn more about this vital truth, request your free copy of The United States and Britain in Prophecy. Are we living in the last days? Some dismiss the notion as fanatical, but world leaders and news analysts are issuing warnings that are becoming more and more dire. Could Bible prophecies about the last days actually be accurate? Our brochure can help guide you through the relevant news and history and help you compare these events to what the Bible says. Are we living in the last days? This brochure is available for free right now at thetrumpet.com.
Just a couple more bits that I think we can squeeze in. Just I mentioned earlier about how a lot of moderate Democrats are a little uneasy, and this even came out in some of the sound bites that we collected this morning. This is from Fox News, clip number 6.
Socialism is a growing problem for the Democratic Party. And the more the Democrats embrace socialism with all the horrors that it entails, the crime that'll take place in New York City, the abandonment of New York City by the successful and the taxpayer, this is what's going to hurt the Democratic reputation and base going forward.
I mean, Jesse brought this out in the clip we played before the break, where, you know, what does it take for these guys to, you know, to resign, to go away in shame? And then you look at the voters, the people on the streets in New York, and what they're saying, what they're talking about, what they're preferring. It says a lot about the sickness in America. This is from Sky News Australia on those that support individuals like Mamdani, clip 7.
There has been this extraordinary shift on the left. It's true there's been a shift on the right as well, but there's been an extraordinary shift on the left in recent years. And just consider this, that look at the priorities of that woman. I mean, gender-affirming care, please, when it is to do with one of the world's great cities, perhaps the world's great city, staring into the face of democratic socialism, and you're saying, let's not talk about the economy, let's not talk about the illegal immigration, let's not talk about the crime, let's not talk about the homelessness, any of these things. Let's talk about gender-affirming care. Normally, that is the sort of thing that would make a party and a candidate totally unelectable. Yet, weirdly, we do have, as you mentioned, Rita, this strain of people for whom there is just never a cause too progressive that they don't want to die on the hill of it.
He's responding there to one of the voters in New York City who favored the gender-affirming care or whatever. I think in a lot of ways, more than it being a repudiation of this past year under Donald Trump, this is the radical leftist taking off the mask and repudiating the old Democrat Party. The Democrat Party is, as some of you old enough to remember, of what it was, you know, 4 or 5 decades ago. It is completely gone. It's dead. And the Democrats today, at least those running the show, they're cut from the same cloth as the dear leader, Barack Hussein Obama. This is from Slate. It says, there was a time when suggesting that your opponents should watch their children die would automatically cost you an election. This is from Slate. This is from a left-wing publication. That era appears to be over after Democrat Jay Jones was elected to be Virginia's next attorney general. Attorney general, of all things. He's the chief law enforcement officer in Virginia. And he's texting messages about murdering Republican families, including their children. Jones had, for most of the race, held a tight lead over the incumbent and been a fairly unremarkable candidate. And it seemed until early October that his election would come down to a referendum on how Virginians felt about the Republican Party. It was a good place for him to be, given that the state typically votes against the party in the White House, but it wasn't a sure bet. And he says here, or the article does, the race changed suddenly on October 3rd when the National Review revealed a series of text messages Jones had sent to a colleague 3 years earlier, just 3 years ago. The messages were starkly violent. In one exchange, he wrote this of the Republican Todd Gilbert, then the House Speaker, 3 people, 2 bullets. Gilbert, Hitler, and Pol Pot. Gilbert gets 2 bullets to the head. He's now the Attorney General. The guy that wrote that is now the Attorney General in Virginia. What does it take for someone to bow out in shame and say, you know what, that crossed the line. I'm embarrassed by it. I wish I never would have said it. But no, instead, he wins. He wins. As Virginia goes dark blue last night, New York Post says the voters spoke Tuesday night, and rather than reject Democrat extremism, they embraced it emphatically. That's what happened in New York. That's what happened in Virginia. In New Jersey, they embraced Democrat extremism. In New Jersey and Virginia, 2 fake moderates, a high-test resume female candidates, practically built in a lab by the party establishment, who nonetheless hold to extreme leftist views on social policy, cruised to victory. None of the outcomes were surprises, except perhaps one, the Virginia Attorney General race. This is the guy that texted the messages of hate and murder. Jones's victory is a vindication of the pro-assassination faction of the radical left. Can you imagine? There's a faction of the radical left that is actually pro-assassination. I mean, that's Isaiah 3 being fulfilled. Last night in some of these deep, dark blue districts, we saw an Isaiah 3 election, and that too, just like the miracle victory of last year, that too is prophesied. That's all we have time for on today's show, the fastest moving hour in broadcasting. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. Thanks for joining us today, and we'll see you next time.